We get an opportunity here on 740 The Fan and 740thefan.com to talk with the beat writer who covers Coastal Carolina University and their football team, Ryan Young from the Sun News. And Ryan, it was the same situation last week for NDSU. They got to play a team from South Carolina, and they got to be very envious of those fans and media types that get to live day in and day out in a beautiful part of South Carolina. I think Myrtle Beach itself, which is where the Sun News is out of, is a vacation destination, I believe, isn't it?
It's a golf mecca, and yeah, it's a major tourist hotspot. I can't complain.
Yeah, and you get to live there 365, and we just get to dream about living there 365. So you and everybody else from the Conway, Myrtle Beach area who will come with the Coastal Carolina team from South Carolina gets to endure very bitterly cold temperatures. And thankfully, this game between the Chanticleers and the Bison is in a controlled environment, so no fear there. But let's talk about Coastal Carolina. Take us back to last week when CCU was playing the University of Montana. What was the biggest fear for this Coastal Carolina team that you felt going into that game last week?
I'm not sure they felt any, but from the outside, everyone talked about the weather, and you had to. I mean, it was 72 degrees in Myrtle Beach when they practiced last Wednesday, and it was, you know, sub-zero in Missoula when they got there Thursday. So you had to think that was going to affect them somehow, but amazingly, surprisingly, it didn't. They're a very well-coached team, very organized, and very things don't bother them. They go about their business, they do what they do, and they do a good job of blocking out external factors, as they showed last week.
Would you say the biggest fear then this week would be the noise that the Fargo Dome could provide?
Yeah, you think so. But again, I had not seen this team get rattled this season. I think kind of the breakthrough win for them was going to Eastern Kentucky early in the year. Traditionally, this program's really struggled on big road trips, big road games, and that they handled that well and they rolled to a lopsided win. And then they went to Liberty, which is their biggest rival in conference. They've always struggled to win in Lynchburg, Virginia. This year they go up there and rally from a huge deficit, come back and win double overtime. In Montana, they've just really acquitted themselves to every situation. And the noise will be different this week, but I'd be surprised if that was a big factor for them, honestly.
Talk about this running game that they have with Talaferro and Alex Rossa, Lorenzo Talaferro, the running back. How good are these two when it comes to the running game?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, this team coming into the season was not designed to be a running team necessarily. Ross is a great passer. They are deep at receiver. It's probably their strongest position. But they just started so strong on the ground, they couldn't go away from it. Talaferro, the junior college transfer, came in last year, really didn't do a whole lot last season, didn't have much opportunity. Just kind of a change of pace back. And given the chance to be the lead back this year, he's just run with it, literally and figuratively. He's a big body. He's a guy you can probably play at the next level, and I think he'll get that chance. But he's big, he's strong, he's fast, and he just has great field vision. Sees the holes, hits them, and has breakaway speed. Ross is he's a great passer, but he's sneaky fast on the ground too. And last week, he really made a point to use his legs to his advantage. He said after the game that he felt Coastal was at its best when he's running the ball. So he, more than in previous weeks, took it upon himself to get himself going on the ground. It makes it hard to defend, but obviously this is the toughest challenge Coastal's faced all season from a defensive standpoint.
Talk about the size of this team. That offensive line is huge. I think they average something like 305 with the starters. The running back is 230, 220 in that range, and the wideouts are tall and big as well. Is that a big advantage in the Big South with the conference Coastal Carolina comes from?
Yeah, I think most weeks they have a distinct advantage in that department. Once you get to the playoffs, so obviously that's probably out the window. You mentioned their offensive line. You know, it's five 2-year starters is the biggest factor there. Experience, they've had the same five guys every week. No one's gotten hurt. and that line has really set the tone for everything they've done. It's been an impressive unit to watch this season.
Now, defensively, this team is out on the field quite a bit because of how good the quick strike offense is of Coastal Carolina. How good is the defense? I mean, this offense is so prolific. Don't really get a good chance to have an idea how good the defense is. Are they better than advertised?
I wouldn't say that. I think that's definitely been the Achilles heel this year. And if anything surprised me last week, it was that the defense played as well as it did in the first half. They've really been inconsistent, and especially have had their struggles in the pass game. I just don't think they have the personnel in the secondary they need to compete at the championship level yet. So they compensated by trying to limit the big plays. As a result, they give up a lot of stuff underneath, a lot of short routes. They're pretty vulnerable in the secondary there, for sure.
Talk about head coach Joe Moglia. What is it like to cover a billionaire? I think it's probably the best question I have for you. Guy doesn't really need to be coaching for the money. He does it for a hobby. How interesting and unique is it to cover him and this team?
Yeah, after the first few weeks, you just kind of forget about that. He's an average Joe, more or less. He's a nice guy. He's very cooperative with the media. As a coach, he's just very detail-oriented, very focused. You can definitely see the CEO in him come out in this job. He's a delegator. He's hired a great staff of assistants, and his approach is that he coaches them and they coach the players. So during practice, you don't see him doing a lot of yelling or talking to the guys much. He has his notepad. He sits there, observes, takes notes, and then afterwards breaks it down to his assistant coaches and tells them what he liked and what he didn't like, and they go from there. But, you know, there's no question that this team is more organized, more disciplined, more efficient than it was before he got there. And he's had a dramatic impact on the program.
Talk about what it was like, or at least the difference between him and the coach last coach for CCU, who was successful in his own right, but he had some, it seemed to be, interesting press conferences. I know there's one out there on the internet that has a lot of views right now.
Oh, yeah.
What are the biggest differences between these two guys?
Well, you know, so many, everything. David Bennett was the first coach in program history. He built the program and deserves a huge share of credit for Coastal getting to this point. I mean, he got them off the ground, got them to their first two playoff appearances. As a personality, as a person, you know, he was more laid back, very Southern, and very popular here. When he got fired, it was an ugly situation. Many fans felt he got a raw deal, and they couldn't understand it. And it took a long time for people to give Moglia a chance and to let the situation heal. Those first 6 months or year was very brutal here.
Talking with Ryan Young, he is the beat writer, covers Coastal Carolina, the football team for the Sun News. Coastal Carolina, of course, coming up to the Fargo Dome on Saturday to take on NDSU in an 11 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. What do you expect out of this game? How do you see this going with these two juggernauts on either side of the ball? Offense versus defense, you know, we talk about that a lot with certain teams. How do you expect these two, like I said, juggernauts to grade out?
Yeah, you know, nobody all season has stopped Coastal offensively. And I definitely think this is, you know, far and away the greatest challenge they've faced. But I don't see this team getting shut down. They're just too dynamic offensively. They have too many options, too many ways to move the ball. I think they're going to put up yards and put up points. It'll come down to what they do defensively and if they can stop North Coast State's offense. I think it's going to be a closer game than people might expect, but until you beat a team like this, it's hard to expect it to happen. So obviously the Bison have the edge here, and we'll see how interesting the games get.
Looking at their two losses, one was against South Carolina, but the other one I'm looking at is Charleston Southern. What did Charleston Southern do that was so effective to stop this offense?
They run a triple option on offense, and Coastal just was not ready for it. They did not adjust well, and it was obvious from the start that they just had very little chance of stopping that kind of attack. And Charleston Southern came in very amped up, very prepared. It was in Charleston. At that time, they were nationally ranked too. They were playing for the conference championship, and just a confluence of factors. And Coastal was just not prepared for that kind of offense. You kind of look at that game as a fluke more than anything at this point. But it was just all the factors convened against them that day.
How do you feel the crowd will affect Coastal Carolina? I know we talked about it a little bit, but do you even foresee this team being rattled at all? Because I know with NDSU fans, that's one of the things that they pride themselves in, is being able to really throw off road teams off their game because of the noise level and the intimidation factor. And I'll put in my two cents. I'll say, I don't know if it's going to have that big of an impact, because last week you have a team that deals with 70-degree weather every day, go to a place that kickoff was 5 below with a 20 below wind chill, one of the toughest places to play in the FCS in Montana, and they put up 35 on them in the first half. To me, my opinion, intimidation factor might not be there, but how about you? How do you see that going down?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there has to be some effect, some impact. Whenever you play in a decided home advantage like the Fargo Dome is, there has to be some impact, but I don't think it's going to be decisive or great. It starts with Alex Ross, the quarterback. He is just so poised, such a big game player. It won't get to him, and as a result, I think he'll galvanize the rest of his unit there, and they're going to do what they do ultimately.
Going to be a lot of fun. Now, yeah. I have to ask you, how do you see it going down? Do you see Coastal Carolina coming away with the win? You watched them all year. You got to cover them. Do you see them possibly coming away with a victory in this one?
I don't know at this point. I mean, I'll say this. It wouldn't surprise me. I was surprised last week. At this point, nothing will surprise me. But to predict the win, to go in thinking that, I can't put myself in that position. I think it's going to be a close game, and it's going to be a fun game. I think North Dakota State probably edges them out in the fourth quarter.
I think that it's going to be a lot closer than some spreads are out there. I think they're giving NDSU 14 points. I know, yeah, NDSU fans are saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be NDSU dominating. I think it's going to be a lot closer than that, not only for the reasons that we talked about, how good this offense is for Coastal Carolina, but all the things that have happened off the field for NDSU and Coach Bull going on to Wyoming after the end of the playoff run. I think that's going to serve as some kind of a distraction in the back of the mind. I don't know how great, but I'm in your camp. I think NDSU does win this. Prediction-wise, I can't give a score or anything like that. Maybe a couple of scores. But, again, it's going to be a lot of fun. NDSU, best offense they've played all year. So, Ryan Young, he's the beat writer of Coastal Carolina, covers them for the Sun News down in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. Ryan, before I let you go, a couple questions about the nickname, because last week it was the Paladines of Furman University. This week, and correct me if I'm mispronouncing, but the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. First off, what is a Chanticleer? And second off, what is the short name? How do you say the shortened version of this nickname?
Sure. It's Chanticleer, first of all.
Chanticleer. Okay, and, so I mispronounced. I've already ticked off everybody in South Carolina. That's good for me.
You and everybody else mispronounced it. Chanticleer, and it is a mythical rooster from the Canterbury Tales.
Okay.
A fierce rooster, if you will. And the short name is the Shants.
The Shants. Okay, well, the Shants taken on, and you're going to have to get down. It's the Bison. I know a lot of
Bison,
people,
right?
Yeah, it's a Z, and not an S. It's a Z. Even
I'm
though
working
it's,
on it.
Yep. Yeah, even though it's spelled with an S, it's pronounced with a Z, and that's how we do it around here in the far. So going to be a lot of fun. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here on 740 The Fan and 740thefan.com. And enjoy the game on Saturday. It should be a good one.
Awesome. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
That's Ryan Young of the Sun News. He's the beat writer who covers Coastal Carolina.